Thank you, Joy. Good morning, all. Let's open this morning's service with hymn number 22 from your Spiral Gospel Hymns hymnbook, number 22.
We were ruined by the fall. Adam's sin defiles us all. By our deed, as by our birth, we deserve the law's great curse. Helpless, hopeless sinners we, never can our souls retrieve. But the blessed Son of God came as man in flesh and blood. He fulfilled the law's demands, and in death stretched out his hands. On the cross of Calvary, Christ redeemed and set us free. In the time which God had set, the Spirit came for his elect to regenerate and call from the ruin of the fall. By his power and by his grace, we were born for God's own praise. Now your purpose we fulfill, saved according to your will. Sing this song of joyful praise for the glory of your grace. Blessed, holy, triune God, hear our praise through Christ our Lord.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. If you haven't seen the inside of the new building yet, I hope you'll take a look before you get away this morning. They started putting the drywall up, and we'll have that finished this week. So it looks really exciting. All right, let's ask the Lord's blessings on our time together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence, thanking you that we have a throne of grace through which we are able to approach you with confidence, knowing that thy dear Son, our Savior, our sin bearer, our substitute, has satisfied all the demands of thy holy law. Lord, that you are looking contently at his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sin. We pray that you would send your Spirit in power and enable us to look to the same place you look. Lord, that we would find our rest, all our hope, and all our salvation in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd be pleased to reveal his glorious person through the eyes of faith to our hearts. Enable us to set our affections on things above where Christ is seated at thy right hand. Lord, for all the provisions of life that we enjoy from your hand, we thank you for them. We thank you for this opportunity of worship. We ask, Lord, that you'd be pleased to bring this virus that has afflicted this world. We pray, Lord, that you would bring it to an end and that you would enable us to return to our regular fellowship. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you have your Bibles open to Psalm 116. I've titled this message, Taking is Giving. Taking is giving. Seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? But it's exactly what the Lord expresses here in Psalm 116 when the psalmist asks, what shall I look with me at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Oh, the benefits of God. From the very next breath that you and I draw into our lungs to the breath of life that is given to us by his Spirit, enabling us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to everything in between, all the benefits that we receive from our God, all the mercies and all the grace. And every believer says, what shall I render to the Lord for his benefits? How can I repay God for all that he's done for me? And notice the answer to this question in the next verse. I will take of the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Now that's why I've titled this message, Taking is Giving. Because the psalmist is asking, what can I give to God for what he's done for me? And then under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he answers that question by saying, I know what I'll give to him. I'll take from him. And I'll call upon him. You see, nothing honors God more than for his people to take of the cup of salvation. And nothing honors him more, and nothing gives to him more glory than for us to call upon the name of the Lord. What shall I give? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? Now, we've seen that these psalms are to be understood first and foremost in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so before we even consider how this might apply to us, let us consider what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to the Father when he says, what shall I render? What shall I render unto my Father for all the benefits that he has given unto me? And then he responds to the very question by saying, I will take of the cup of salvation. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, if there be any way this cup can pass from me, let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It wasn't that the Lord was considering some other option, or that he was reluctant, or that he was having second thoughts. Oftentimes, the Lord prayed. You remember when he prayed at Lazarus' tomb in John chapter 11? And he said, Father, I know that thou always hear me. But I pray this for their benefit. And that prayer that our Lord expressed to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane is for our benefit. There is no other way. If there was some other way, if there was some other way for our sin to be put away other than the Lord Jesus Christ drinking the bitter dregs of our sin and of the curse of those sins and of the judgment and wrath of God, God would have had another way. But there was no other way. He drank damnation dry. He drank to the very bottom of the bitter dregs of God's holy justice and wrath. Why? So that you and I would never have to drink of that cup. All we have now is the sweetness of the wine of his Spirit to gladden our hearts. We don't. So the Lord is asking the Father, Father, what shall I render unto you? All the benefits that you've given me, I know what I'll do. I'll fulfill the promise that I made to you in the covenant of grace. I'll suffer the wrath of God in order to put away the sins of my people. I'll satisfy God's holy justice. Nothing honored the Father more than for the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill those covenant promises. I know what I'll do to render unto God, to repay unto God, to show my love and my appreciation and my gratitude to my God for all that he's done for me. I will take of the cup of salvation. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. Listen to what he said in John chapter 17 when he's praying to the Father. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You remember what the Lord Jesus said when he bowed his mighty head on Calvary's cross? He cried, it is finished. It is finished. The cup of salvation has been drunk. God is satisfied. Sin's been put away. Everything that God requires for the salvation of God's people has been accomplished, has been finished. And so he says, Father, I've glorified thee. I glorified thee on the earth. And the way I glorified thee was I drank of the cup of salvation. He goes on to say, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Father, I'm glorifying you. I'm rendering unto the Lord, unto my Father, for all his benefits by taking of the cup of salvation. And Father, now that I've glorified thee in doing what I promised to do, Lord, I'm praying that you glorify me. And that's exactly what he does. Nothing glorifies the Father more than for Christ to be lifted up. Nothing glorifies God more. Nothing expresses our praise and worship and gratitude to God more than for us to take of the cup of salvation to the praise of the glory of his grace. And then you remember when James and John sent their mother to the Lord to request that they would be given a place on his right hand and on his left hand when he entered into his glory, thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to set up an earthly kingdom and an earthly throne. And James and John's mother went to the Lord privately and said, you know, my boys would really love to be right there with you on your right and left hand. And the Lord looked at James and John and he said, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. He said to them, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And he wasn't talking about water baptism. He was talking about the baptism of fire. He was talking about the fiery wrath of God's justice that was going to fall on him on Calvary's cross. And he asked them, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And then he went on to say, are you able to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? And they said, oh yes, Lord, we are. Not having any idea what they were saying. Yes, Lord, we're able to drink of that cup. And the Lord gloriously said in response to them, and you indeed shall be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, and you shall drink of the cup from which I'm going to drink. When did we do that? When he did it. You see, God's people have always been in Christ. They've always been in Christ. They were in Christ in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. God's elect have always been viewed in Christ. And so everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did, we did. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's our hope. You see, what the Lord said to James and John, he says to me and you, you indeed shall be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. You indeed shall drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from. When I do it, you're going to do it. When the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life of perfect obedience to the Father, God saw his life as our life. And everyone that was in Christ was credited with righteousness by the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died on Calvary's cross, every one of God's elect were with him. When he ascended back into glory, the scripture says that all of our blessings are in the heavenlies now in Christ Jesus. So God's people are viewed by God in Christ. The only hope that you and I have to be able to enter into the presence of God is to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, brethren, when he drank that cup, we drank that cup. What will I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do. I'll take of the cup of salvation. Now, you remember when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt, and God elevated him to the prime minister of Egypt, and Joseph's brothers came down not looking for food, not knowing who he was, and Joseph is in the process of revealing himself to his brothers. He knows he's going to make himself known to them, but they've got some things to learn first. And so he gives them food and sends them home. They never paid for any of the food. You remember they took the money back with them and they found the money in their bags when they got home? Isn't that the way? Joseph in this story is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the church, are his brothers. But most particularly, Benjamin is a picture of the church. Remember, Benjamin stayed home with Jacob. And the last time they went home, they said to Jacob, he told us not to come back until we brought Benjamin with us. And so they brought Benjamin, and Joseph had one of his servants take his silver cup and put it in Benjamin's bag. And Benjamin, not knowing the cup was in there, they left Egypt, going back to Palestine, and Joseph sent his servants after them. Somebody stole my cup. And the man that stole it will be my servant. And it was found in Benjamin's bag. What is that story about? That's when Judah had to stand in Benjamin's stead and be the surety for Benjamin. You remember Judah took Joseph aside and said, oh, don't do this to Benjamin. His father will die, for his father's life is in part with the lad's life. If something happens to the lad, our father's going to die. Jacob will die. And Judah stood in his stead. And that's when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. What a picture of salvation. You know, we've been given that cup. And we've been found guilty. And yet we have our Judah, who stood in our stead as our surety and secured our deliverance and provided for us everything. That's what happened at the cross. That's what the Lord's saying here. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I know what I'll do. I'll take of the cup of salvation. Now, we took of that cup by virtue of our union with Christ. Mystically, we took of it. Spiritually, we took of it 2,000 years ago. But does that mean that we don't take of it now? No, we do take of it. What did the Lord say? In John chapter 7, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Lord said, lest you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you have no life in you, for my blood is drink indeed. So what are we doing? We're looking in faith to the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross for all the hope of our justification before God. That's what it is to take of the cup. There's a river that flows clear as crystal from the throne of God. And God says, come drink. Drink. Come, just like you are right now. Now what the Lord said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, when he said to her, if you knew who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, you would ask of him, and he would give to you living water. If we knew what the Lord Jesus Christ did, if we knew that he satisfied everything that God required, we would ask of him, Lord, give me to drink. Give me to drink. And we take the cup of salvation. And by taking the cup of salvation, by looking to Christ's death on Calvary's cross for all the hope of our justification before God, not of will, nor it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. It's not by works, it's by grace. It's by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That renders to God all the glory for the benefits that he has given unto us. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I know what I'll do. I'll take. Taking is giving. Taking is giving. Isn't that glorious? Nothing glorifies him more than for us to take the cup of salvation. You say, what can I do for all the blessings and benefits that I've enjoyed from the Lord? Take. Take of the cup of his salvation. Drink. Notice what else the psalmist responds to this question, what shall I render unto the Lord? How can I possibly repay God for all his benefits? He saved me. He's put away my sin. He's given me everlasting life. What can I do to repay him? How can I render unto him the glory that he deserves and the gratitude that he deserves for all the benefits that he's given unto me? I'll take of the cup of salvation. That's all I know to do. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? Lord, you're going to have to reveal yourself to me for me to call upon you. Turn me, Lord, and I'll be turned. Reveal yourself to me and I'll call upon you. This is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. What shall I render unto the Lord? This is the words of Christ from Calvary's cross. What shall I render unto him for all of his benefits? I know what I'll do. I'll call upon my Father. Turn to me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Christ Jesus the Lord gave to his Father all the glory. That's what he's rendering unto the Lord. He's rendering unto the Lord his thanksgiving and his glory. Look at Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Again, the Lord knew why he was being forsaken. He knew that he would have to drink of this cup. This was the cup that he dreaded. What it meant. You and I are able to live our lives without fellowship with God for periods of time, and it doesn't seem to bother us much, does it? We get so tied up in the things of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ had perfect union with the Father for all eternity? And what it meant for him to be made sin? And for the Father to forsake him? We can't even enter into that. We can believe it. And we know that he suffered this forsaking for the glory of his Father and for the sake of his bride. And so Psalm 22 is David's words of prophecy, speaking to the very thing that the Lord said on Calvary's cross: my God, why hast thou forsaken me? From noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sky was so black it could be felt. It was darkened. Separation between God the Father and God the Son. God the Son doing business with the Father, bearing the guilt of his people, bearing the shame of their sin and suffering the wrath of God's justice, drinking of that cup and being baptized with that fiery baptism of God's holy wrath. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. Notice the next phrase, but. You see, there was a real separation between the Father and the Son. The Son's crying out to the Father. He's not hearing anything from the Father. Lord, I'm crying. You're not answering. But in spite of the fact that I'm not hearing you, you're holy. You're holy. What's he doing? He's calling upon the name of the Lord in spite of the fact that he's not hearing anything back from God. He just keeps calling. Isn't that what we're to do? You remember the story the Lord told about the impertinent woman who went before the judge and asked him for some relief, and he didn't even listen to her. But because of her impertinence, because she continued to beg him, yes, what? Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And most times somebody knocks on the door one time and you open it, right? Not so with God. That word knock, it means to keep knocking. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. That word ask means to keep asking. Search, seek, and you shall find. That word seek means to keep seeking. It doesn't mean, well, you know, I knocked, I asked God, I sought him, he didn't answer. He wasn't answering the Lord. But he kept calling upon his name. You remember the bride in the Song of Solomon? She was looking for her beloved, and she asked where he was, and nobody knew where he was. But she kept looking. And they asked her, what is your beloved more than our beloved? And she began to describe him to them. Where is he gone? I've got to find him. And she kept pursuing him until she found him. Where did she find him? In the garden. Down in the garden. And that's a picture of the church. That's where we find him. Or just, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? I know what I'll do. I'll do what Christ did. I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll do what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Even when I'm not hearing back from God, I will call upon the name of the Lord. And I'll keep calling. And I'll keep coming. That's what I'm going. I'm going to render unto the Lord my dependence upon him. That's what's going to glorify him the most. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 22. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou did deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, a despise of the people. All that see me lap me to scorn. They shoot out their lips. They shake their head. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. God's silent. Christ is suffering all the indignities of man, all the sufferings of these shameful accusations that sinners are making against him. And all he had to do was call the angels of heaven. Now, there would have, a legion of angels would have come. And they would have delivered him. But he didn't. He didn't. He remained there on Calvary's cross until he finished the work that he came to do. Until salvation was complete. Until God the Father was satisfied. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? What can I give to God? I know what I'll do. I'll take from God. And I'll call upon him. Verse 9, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lions. I'm poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like the potsherd of my tongue, cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vestures. Now, these words were penned by David as a prophet 1,000 years before they were fulfilled on Calvary's cross. 1,000 years. Exactly as it was prophesied. Be not far from me, O Lord. Oh, my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. The Lord Jesus not hearing from God. Yet he says, what shall I render unto my Father for all his benefits? I know what I'll do. Nothing will glorify my Father more than for me to take the cup of salvation. Nothing will glorify him more and show him more of my gratitude than for me to call upon him, even when I'm not hearing anything, even when nothing's happening. I'm just going to keep calling. I'll keep calling. There's our hope, brethren. Taking is giving. And we render to the Lord the calves of our lips when we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, calling upon the name of the Lord, don't we? Nothing honors his name more than for us to call upon him, for us to express our complete dependence upon him for everything. Look at... Back to our text in Psalm 116. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now, those of us that are married took marital vows. And if paying those vows is something we have to do because it's legally right, then something's wrong with that marriage, isn't it? Somebody has to insist that if your spouse has to remind you of your vows in order to get you to love them properly, something's wrong with that marriage, isn't it? No, when the Lord says, I'm going to pay my vows, he's the loving husband of his bride. He's doing it willingly, lovingly. He made a vow to his Father before before the stars were made, before the angels were made, before the world was created, before Adam and Eve, where Adam was formed from the dust of the earth, or Eve from the rib of Adam, before any of that happened, the Lord Jesus Christ made a covenant promise with his Father. Just like the covenant promise of a marriage. And he said, Father, I will satisfy your holy justice by my shed blood. And I will fulfill, as the God-man, everything required for perfect obedience in order for them to be acceptable in thy sight. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. Let me show you that. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Now, surety is one who satisfies the debt of another. Okay? We might have something similar to a surety in a cosigner. And the wisdom of God here is that when you agree to be the surety of another person, you make sure that you maintain your integrity by paying their debt when they're not able. Now, we owe a debt to God. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? We have a debt to God, a sin debt that we can't pay. And the Lord Jesus Christ struck hands with the Father as our surety, knowing that we would never. You wouldn't co-sign for somebody if you knew ahead of time that they weren't going to pay it and you were going to be stuck with everything, would you? Would you do that? You knew for sure that you were going to be stuck with the whole thing. Would you do it? We co-sign for our children or for friends if we want to help them out, but we're figuring they're going to take care of this. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he became our surety, he knew that we would never be able to pay that debt. Now listen, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, and brethren, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. No longer do I call you my servant, for a servant knoweth not what his master doeth, but I call you my friends. Yeah, there's some wisdom in this about co-signing with somebody and maintaining the integrity of your name. And if you do that, you better be prepared to pay that debt off if they don't. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. He humbled himself and he made sure his friend. Why? To maintain the integrity of his name. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I know what I'll do. I'll take of the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord and I'll fulfill my vows. My covenant promises. We render to our God glory when we fulfill our vows. And we don't do it because it's required by the law. We do it because he works in us, causing us to will and to do after his good pleasure. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ arrested Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and that bright light came and blinded him, and the voice of God spoke, and Saul asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And what did Saul say? What did Saul say? "Lord, what would you have me to do?" What would you have me to do? You remember in Isaiah chapter 6 when the Lord is speaking in the triune Godhead, and Isaiah is listening in. And the Lord says, whom shall we send and whom will go for us? And what did Isaiah say? Out of gratitude for what the Lord had done for him. What did he do for him? He took the hot coal from off the altar and he touched his lips and he took away his sin. That's a picture of what Christ did when he was baptized with the baptism of fire. And what did Isaiah say? Lord, here am I. Is there anything I can do? Send me, Lord. Send me. You see, that's every believer's heart desire, isn't it? I will render unto the Lord the fulfillment of thy vows. You see, every child of God, when they meet Christ, Lord, what would you have me to do? My life is your life. You saved me. Lord, everything I have belongs to you. What would you have me to do? And what did the Lord say to Isaiah? Isaiah, I'm going to give you a message. And they're going to have ears, but they won't hear. And they're going to have eyes, but they won't see. But you're going to keep preaching. You're going to keep preaching to them. And that's what we keep doing, don't we? And preaching isn't just a one-man minute. It's the church. The church is, we're given the responsibility to preach the gospel. This is our vows. This is what we're doing. We're rendering unto the Lord the fulfillment of our vows. Every time we gather together for worship, every time we contribute to the preaching of the gospel, that's what we're doing. And Isaiah said, Lord, how long? How long do I have to do this? Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the land be utterly desolate. Isaiah, if there's one person left on the earth, you preach the gospel to them. You tell them about Christ. That's the only hope they have. And every child of God says with the psalmist, what should I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? How can I repay God for what he's done for me? I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. And I'll spend the rest of my life fulfilling my vows out of gratitude for what he's done for me. Taking is giving. Amen? All right. Let's take a break.